This audio is a reading of the popular level version of my paper titled Virgin or Young Woman, What the Septuagint Tells Us About Biblical Prophecies. Provides a simplified overview of the topic for those who want to understand the debate over Isaiah 7 verse 14 and the meaning of the Hebrew word om without diving into technical details. Please note for smoother listening, some elements such as chapter headings, subheadings, the appendix tables, and the full bibliography have been left out. I encourage you to explore the written version of this paper at defendtheword.com to access those additional resources. If you'd like to study the topic in greater depth, the full academic paper is posted alongside it. D. Gene Williams, Jr., Ph.D., Defend the Word Ministries, North Point Church Introduction. The Bible is a treasure trove of ancient wisdom, but sometimes the meanings of its words get lost in translation. One of the most famous examples is Isaiah 7 verse 14, where the Hebrew word om has been the subject of intense debate. Does it mean virgin or simply young woman? The answer has big implications, especially for Christians who see this verse as a prophecy of Jesus' virgin birth. This paper explores how the Septuagint, the earliest Greek translation of the Hebrew Bible, handled om and other keywords. Produced by Jewish scholars long before Christianity, the Septuagint provides a fascinating glimpse into how ancient Jews understood their scriptures. By examining its translation choices, we can uncover valuable insights about biblical prophecy and theology. What do these words really mean? A virgin by assumption in the Hebrew Bible, om refers to a young woman of marriageable age, but in every context it carries the assumption that she is a virgin. For example, in Genesis 24 verse 43, om describes Rebecca, whose virginity is confirmed earlier in the story. The Septuagint translates om as parthenos, the Greek word for virgin, showing that ancient Jewish scholars understood the term to mean more than just young woman. Bethula. The ambiguous term, unlike om, the Hebrew word Bethula can mean virgin, but it doesn't always. Sometimes it needs clarification, as in Genesis 24 verse 16, where the text adds, "No man had known her," to make it clear. In Joel 1 verse 8, Bethula even refers to a widow. This broader usage makes it a less precise term for passages like Isaiah 7 verse 14, which emphasizes a miraculous sign. Why does this matter? The Septuagint in Isaiah 7 verse 14, when the Septuagint translated Isaiah 7 verse 14 as "the virgin shall conceive and bear a son," it wasn't inventing something new, it was faithfully reflecting the Jewish understanding of om at the time. This translation was later quoted in Matthew 1 verse 23, connecting the prophecy to the birth of Jesus. Modern debates, some critics argue that om only means young woman, and that the Septuagint mistranslated it. But the evidence suggests otherwise. Ancient Jewish scholars, working long before Christianity, consistently understood om to mean virgin. The real question is why some modern interpretations have shifted away from this understanding. This prophetic foundation for the virgin birth is further strengthened by Genesis 3 verse 15, where God declares that the Messiah will come from the seed of the woman. In Jewish tradition, lineage is traced through the father, yet this passage uniquely attributes the coming Redeemer to the woman's lineage alone. Such an irregularity finds its fulfillment only in Christ's birth to a virgin, bypassing human paternity altogether. If Jesus had a human father, he would be the seed of man, contradicting the prophecy. Thus, the virgin birth is not just a miraculous sign, it is a theological necessity for Jesus to be the promised Messiah, fulfilling the first gospel of Genesis 3 verse 15. This further reinforces the reliability of the LXX's translation of om as parthenos, showing that the expectation of a miraculous birth existed long before Christianity's rise. The Septuagint's role in Christianity. The Septuagint wasn't just important for Jewish scholars, it became the Bible of the early church. New Testament writers, including Paul and the Gospel authors, quoted from the Septuagint extensively. For example, Matthew 1 verse 23 uses the Septuagint's translation of Isaiah 7 verse 14 to highlight the virgin birth of Jesus. Luke 4 verses 18 to 19, Jesus reads from the Septuagint's version of Isaiah 61 in the synagogue. The Septuagint played a crucial role in shaping Christian theology, making it more than just a translation, it's a bridge between Judaism and Christianity. What happened to the Septuagint? After the rise of Christianity, the Septuagint fell out of favor with many Jewish communities. Around the 2nd century CE, Jewish leaders began to favor the Hebrew Masoretic text, partly because the Septuagint was so closely associated with Christian theology. This rejection created a divide that still influences how we view biblical translations today. Conclusion: the Septuagint offers a unique window into how ancient Jews understood their scriptures. Its translation of om as virgin in Isaiah 7 verse 14 reflects an authentic interpretation rooted in Jewish tradition, not a Christian invention. By studying the Septuagint, we can better understand the rich history of biblical prophecy and its fulfillment. Whether you're exploring the origins of the Bible or seeking to deepen your faith, the Septuagint is a vital part of the story, one that continues to connect Jews and Christians across centuries.